Do you need concrete strategies for tackling the complexity of IT modernization? Look no further than FCW's Pillars of Modernization Workshop, an exclusive in-person event. Join government and industry peers in Washington, D.C. on March 23rd for breakfast, networking, and insightful discussions on IT modernization. Don't miss your chance to hear from the Chief Information Officers of OPM and the Defense Information Systems Agency. Register now at fcw.com/events.
This is GovExec Daily, where we bring you the federal stories that really matter. It's March 13th, 2023. I'm Ross Jonfortuna. Many federal annuitants are familiar with Medicare Part D. The plan is used by nearly 50 million Americans as part of their health insurance needs. Last year, the Inflation Reduction Act enacted some reforms to Medicare Part D that annuitants will have to heed. As with every insurance situation, individuals have different concerns and usages, but our guest today has a good outline as to what changes are coming in the short and medium term for those who are enrolled in Medicare Part D. Kevin Moss is a senior editor with Consumer's Checkbook. Checkbook's 2023 Guide to Health Plans for Federal Employees is available now. He's also a GovExec contributor, and his latest post on our site is headlined, How Changes to Medicare Part D Will Impact Federal Annuitants. After a short break, he'll join me to talk about Medicare Part D and how feds and annuitants should approach it.
Leadership development has never been more relevant, and skilled leaders are always in demand. For exceptional training for your own leaders, look no further than the Professional Development Academy. The Professional Development Academy is trusted by Colin Powell and other top leaders to address specific leadership needs and transfer proven expertise from the C-suite to frontline leaders. Our online programs help maximize employee potential to gain a competitive edge while still remaining flexible to allow for demanding schedules. Visit pdaleadership.com to learn more.
According to the Kaiser Family Foundation, nearly 50 million Americans are enrolled in Medicare Part D plans. Now, with the passage of last year's Inflation Reduction Act, reforms to Medicare Part D will be enacted, so everyone, including federal annuitants, enrolled in the plan will have to pay attention to these changes. Kevin Moss is senior editor with Consumer's Checkbook. Checkbook's Guide to Health Plans for Federal Employees is available now. He's also a GovExec contributor, and his latest post on our site is headlined, How Changes to Medicare Part D Will Impact Federal Annuitants. He joins me now to discuss his post and Medicare Part D. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ross.
So I mentioned the Inflation Reduction Act up top. What reforms does the law bring to Medicare Part D?
Yeah, well, I think there's two big ones. First, it allows the federal government to negotiate drug prices. So Medicare historically has always wanted to do it. The Inflation Reduction Act now allows them to negotiate prescription drug prices as part of the Part D program. But also, you know, tucked away into that legislation were pretty major reforms in terms of how Part D will operate. Those reforms are now starting to roll out, and now federal annuitants really need to start paying attention, because it feels like we're at a point where how prescription drug coverage is for annuitants, the delivery mechanism of that is now going to be almost entirely different than what has happened in the past. So historically, adding Part D to your existing Medicare A and B and FEHB choice was probably not a great idea, mostly because you had to pay an extra premium, but also because the prescription drug coverage that you would get from your FEHB plan was as good or better than what you could find from one of the supplemental Part D plans. And of course, you didn't have to pay an extra premium in order to receive it. But now there's some big changes that are happening that are going to change that dynamic. And also OPM is now offering FEHB carriers new ways to deliver prescription drug coverage because they really want federal annuitants to benefit from these Part D changes.
You write that people maybe should expect more FEHB Medicare Advantage plans options. So what should people expect on that front? What's it going to look like? What are these options going to entail?
Right. So there'll be three delivery mechanisms, possibly. Some of this is a little bit speculation, but seeing what has happened in the past and understanding that when OPM issues guidance and recommendations that oftentimes the FEHB carriers will follow suit, we know a little bit about probably what 2024 and future years are going to look like. So one option for federal annuitants to get these new Part D benefit upgrades will be FEHB Medicare Advantage plans. Now, these plans have been around for the last few years. The construction of them bundles a Part D plan along with the Medicare Advantage plan. And these are really great deals. They have been great deals for the last few years. Not a lot of federal annuitants have gravitated to them yet, but I think more and more will, and we'll see more FEHB carriers start offering even more options. The construction of them and the requirements for them, you have to be enrolled in Medicare Part A and Medicare Part B. You stay enrolled in the FEHB plan that's sponsoring the FEHB Medicare Advantage plan. On the upside of this, the MA plan is going to reduce, or in some cases entirely eliminate, the Part B premium for you. Many have zero out-of-pocket costs, except for prescription drugs, if you go to providers that accept Medicare. And these are low-cost options. Just one example of that, in the DC area, if you were two federal annuitants with an age 70 primary insured, and you were paying the standard Medicare Part B premiums, you could save this year almost $8,000 if you switch from Blue Cross Standard to a plan offered by United, the primary choice retiree advantage plan. So these were massive savings that were on the table this year, but it will be even more widely considered in future years because of these Part D benefit upgrades. Now, this choice is probably the least costly choice for almost every federal annuitant, but there are some cases where this may not be the best choice for you. So one way it may not be the best for you is if you're subject to the higher Part B premium. So this is called IRMA. Stands for income related monthly adjustment amounts. Say that five times fast. But basically, if you are a high income individual, high income family, this is $97,000 and above for individuals, or $194,000 or above for, you know, for a couple, this is AGI amounts, then you have to pay a higher Part B premium. And because you're getting Part D in these Medicare Advantage plans, you also are subject to the Part D IRMA on top of that. So you're getting hit twice with higher premiums. This reduces the overall value of having Part B and joining one of these plans. Also, for Medicare Advantage plans, if you need routine overseas care, anything beyond an accident that might happen overseas, let's say you spent 6 months in the year in Panama or something. If you need routine overseas care, FEHB Medicare Advantage plans, there's only one right now. This is the United Healthcare plan that offers routine overseas care. So if that's something that you need, there aren't a lot of options for that. And then you also still want to make sure that the providers that you are looking at, the providers that you go to, are still going to be in network for the FEHB Medicare Advantage plans. So that's one option. It's the strongest option because it doesn't consider just, you know, savings that could be had on prescription drugs. It's looking at your total healthcare costs, and those FEHB Medicare Advantage plans are just tremendous deals.
You talked about sort of future years. What are the changes coming in the next few years?
Yeah. So the one that's out already for 2023 is a cap on insulin. So $35, no more than $35 for insulin covered by Part D plans. Now, the requirement isn't that all types and brands of insulin are going to be at that $35 level, but a Part D plan at least has to cover each dosage form, vial or pen, and then each type of insulin, rapid acting, short acting, intermediate acting, and long acting. So that's out now. That started in January. That's for insulin delivered through Part D. Insulin delivered through Part B, that's coming into play in July. So that's one thing that's happening right away. Next is, it's a little bit confusing, the construction of how Part D plans work in terms of who pays what and when. There's actually four different stages of Part D coverage. So the first stage is pre-deductible, and that's where the enrollee pays 100% of all costs for prescription drugs. Once they meet the deductible, you're then in what's called the initial coverage stage. The enrollee will typically pay 25% of prescription drug expenses. The Part D plan will pay 75%. And then you get what's called the coverage gap when you're at $4,600 of expenses. And in that level, you're still paying the 25%. The Part D plan's paying 5%, but then actually the pharma manufacturer is paying 70% of costs. And then after you reach 7,400, if you're following along, you're in what's called the catastrophic coverage phase. This is the last phase of coverage. Many people may never face this, but if you do, the enrollee is still on the hook for 5% of all expenses. Medicare and the Part D plan pay 95%. Next year, that catastrophic coverage 5% contribution is going away. There are provisions for Part D plans in terms of how much their premiums are allowed to grow year over year. So some people might think, well, with these enhanced benefits and low-cost insulin, the Part D plans are then going to raise premiums to, you know, to offset that. And there are protections against that. The Part D premiums can't increase more than 6% a year from 2024 to 2030. And that's a pretty decent protection because we know last year Part D premiums on average increased 10%. So that protection's in place. But the biggest change you're going to have to wait another year for, not 2024, but in 2025, there is going to be a new $2,000 enrollee out-of-pocket spending cap in Part D plans. And they haven't described necessarily how this will work. Those $2,000 of out-of-pocket expenses over the course of the year, so there's going to be some way for you to spread out those $2,000 across the 12 months in a year. So you're not hit with $2,000 just in 1 month. This is, I think, the biggest sort of win for enrollees who will be in a Part D plan. If you are a moderate to high prescription drug user, or you know you're taking expensive brand or specialty drugs to treat, you know, certain diseases, this will be a really important upgrade to Part D plans. And the $2,000 spending cap, this is much lower than the catastrophic limits that you find in most FEHB plans, which range anywhere from $1,500 to up to $9,100 for using in-network providers for self-only enrollment. So that is the big one. It's not coming until 2025, but this needs to be in the back of the mind, I think, of all federal annuitants, that these changes are coming.
What other considerations, certainly for the next year, for 2023 and I guess to 2024, should annuitants keep in mind?
Yeah, so OPM every year releases a letter to the carriers where they put out the goals of what they want to see happen in the following year. And OPM recently released a couple of carrier letters that provide guidance that allows us to kind of see what they're thinking and how carriers will deliver benefits next year. And So one prediction that we have is that we've already talked about, we think we'll see more FEHB Medicare Advantage plans because you get a Part D plan when you join one of those. And OPM is saying that they'd like to see more plans offer those. But they also have opened the door for FEHB plans to have a supplemental prescription drug plan available to folks who are enrolled in FEHB plans. And they have said in their language that there might be automatic enrollment in those plans. Now, we don't know how this is going to work. We don't know if any carriers will take them up on this suggestion and offer auto enrollment. But certainly, there's a lot of potential confusion about where am I getting my prescription drugs coverage from. You know, you might have been in the same FEHB plan for many years. And if you're auto enrolled into now that plan's prescription drug plan, how is that going to be communicated to you? OPM promises that prescription drug plans will be as good or better than your existing FEHB prescription drug coverage. And, you know, they could, it's probably easier for them to say that in terms of the cost sharing obligations of how much it will cost, you know, to fill a brand name drug for a 30-day supply. But how good a job will the plans do in terms of making sure that the drug formularies match between both? So if you are taking prescription drugs and you have made a decision as to what FEHB plan you're on right now based on how that plan covers your drug, this is something you're going to have to absolutely pay attention to, that if you are going to be auto-enrolled into a new Part D prescription plan, that the formulary of that new Part D plan is still going to cover your drug in the same way. So you're going to have to be paying attention to that.
Right. So we'll end on the sort of why and what people should care about. You mentioned auto-enrollment. Can it sort of be okay to just keep everything the same and be fine and be okay? Or how much should they be messing around?
Yeah, Ross, this is one of the things that is hard to say right now. And it's more of a stay tuned and make sure that you're paying attention during open season from what OPM is communicating to what your FEHB plan is contributing to you in terms of how prescription drug coverage is going to be delivered to you in 2024. You know, I don't like speculating too much because we haven't seen it yet, but what we have seen is OPM saying that this is now an option that carriers could start offering this. So we don't know how many will, we don't know if any will. We do know there's a lot of great provisions now in Part D plans that make these more attractive choices. However, if you are an annuitant and you don't take any prescription drugs, realize you can, you know, do nothing and you will pay no penalty avoiding all of this Part D stuff for right now. Your existing FEHB prescription drug coverage is considered credible coverage by OPM, which means that you'll never face a penalty for not joining a Part D plan right now. So if you don't take prescription drugs right now, your situation may change in the future. And at that point, you may want to consider a Part D plan. If you have moderate to high prescription drug usage, then I think this is something that you're definitely going to want to take a look at. Can I get a better deal on these expensive brand name drugs that I take by being in one of these Part D plans? And you're going to have to compare, you know, both this FEHB with Part D option that may be coming. You're going to want to compare an FEHB Medicare Advantage plan to see how that will cover you. And you still have an option of joining a non-FEHB Part D plan. You can go to Medicare Plan Finder and go and take a look and see if there's a Part D plan that will do a good job of covering your drugs at a low cost.
Yeah, presumably that's the kind of homework that people are going to have to do, and hopefully our listeners will do that. And with that, Kevin, thanks for being on the show with us.
Yeah, thanks, Ross.
Do you need concrete strategies for tackling the complexity of IT modernization, look no further than FCW's Pillars of Modernization Workshop, an exclusive in-person event. Join government and industry peers in Washington, D.C. on March 23rd for breakfast, networking, and insightful discussions on IT modernization. Don't miss your chance to hear from the Chief Information Officers of OPM and the Defense Information Systems Agency. Register now at fcw.com/event.
Thanks for listening to GovExec Daily. Our show was produced and hosted by me, Ross Johnfortune. We want to thank Kevin Moss for joining the program. Our music is the song Signals by Catfish Dancing. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. You can email us any feedback at podcast@govexec.com or hit us up on Twitter at GovExec. Check us out on Facebook or LinkedIn by searching for Government Executive. We'd love to hear from you. We'll talk to you later.